On today's Next Fan Up podcast.
Hey, Tom Brady's going to be angry, but man, he was angry all year last year. That's not really how football works. I mean, they could be focused, but I'm expecting a little rust, to be honest.
Aw, man, talk about buzzkill. All right, let's go.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this slightly delayed episode of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader. Sorry, I usually like to get the Wednesday show out first thing in the morning, but had a few things come up that I had to deal with and required my attention, so we're a little later than usual. But nonetheless, we have a fantastic program for you today. We have a great interview with a friend of the podcast, Matt Chatham. We played in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League last week. And while we did play in fantasy, we ended up talking quite a bit about regular football. So I hope you're going to enjoy some of the topics we get into. Yeah, it's a little Patriots heavy, but Matt is a New Englander guy. So, you know, gotta go with the strengths. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we also have a winner for our email contest. Our email of the week came to us from Andy. Andy is a lifelong Dolphins fan and had sent in an application to replace our other Dolphins fan, Ron. He mentioned, one, I have radio experience on ESPN Radio New Hampshire. He has writing, which can be found on hbtsports.com, where he's a featured NFL writer. He's the AFC guy. There's also an NFC guy over there. He writes about football a lot during his free times, both for that website and his own personal blog. Writing has been a passion for as long as I can remember, and people have told me I'm quite good. Of course, that's for us to decide. He has an NFL Game Pass subscription, so he can watch the Dolphins film every day, because obviously you don't see everything you need to see during a game telecast. You don't get the whole picture. He also works in financial services on Wall Street. So there you go. He's a busy guy. So Andrew, what we're basically saying is not only thank you for being our email of the week, but welcome to the club, our newest Dolphins super fan. Now is Andy C. You can follow him at Andy C 11, A-N-D-Y-S-E-E 11, the number 11. There you go. So now we have a new Dolphins fan, and we were able to award that $20. Maybe Andrew wants to take that $20 and go over to betdsi.com, where he can get 100% bonus just for signing up. And if he uses our promo code FANUP10, he's also going to get another free $10 to place his wagers on. And of course, there's all sorts of football wagers. You have first halves, special props, college football. In college football, there's even quarters, there's Canadian football, basically any sport you can think of, they've got a line for it at betdsi.com. And on top of sports, you can also bet on the upcoming election, which reminds me, you might hear a political ad on this particular podcast from time to time. We are gladly accepting the money of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. However, we are not endorsing either candidate. We are strongly in the camp of voting none of the above. I remind you all on this particular day to please vote none of the above. That is still not an option, by the way, at betdsi.com if you are placing wagers on the presidential election. But please go sign up at betdsi.com. You'll get a free $10 from us using our promo code FANUP10. And of course, that 100% bonus on your first deposit. All right. Hey, speaking of betting lines, we'll talk about the Thursday night game in just a little bit. But first, I'm going to bring you my interview with Matt Chatham of footballbyfootball.com. It's my pleasure now to bring in friend of the podcast. I don't know how many times you've been on my show at this point now, Matt Chatham of footballbyfootball.com, but it's been quite a few. You're one of our top guests.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's been a handful for sure, Jay.
Well, we love having you. You provide us with great insights. I would love having you more if you had actually lost to me in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League.
Right. Well, you know, I went to bed thinking I had, and that's sort of the beauty of this fantasy cast stuff where it put us, you know, across the table from one another. I had one dude playing, Jerick McKinnon. He was all I had left, and I trailed you by 17 points and had a crazy house of kids bouncing off the walls, and I was like, you know what? There's no way. I felt good about McKinnon. That's why I picked him up. Thought he might be good for a nice solid 8 to 10, but 17 probably out of reach. Time to go take a nap, and I woke up, and you get that nice little morning note says, ding, 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 you tied Pod Vader. I was like, wow, okay. Hey, I'll take it.
You know, the worst part about it is McKinnon only scored 15 fantasy points, which means there was a correction somewhere.
You know, the oddball thing that I happened to me that I hate, it's just one of the, I don't know if every league does it this way, but Carlos Santos with a missed, I think 52 or 3 yard attempt in the rain before half. It was sort of a, hey, we got you to almost midfield, a little bit beyond midfield. Let's go ahead and attempt one as we all run down the tunnel, and then those end up as negative points. So that was the other thing I was kind of hung up on. I was like, if that it ended up being in a 1 point gap and that had been the point, ugh, you know.
Well, you know, I mentioned to you right before we started recording, the beauty of having you on is that I get to talk real football with you, too. And we can sort of relate this a little bit to fantasy, but right. I definitely want to talk about some of the guys that I've got and some of the guys that you've got, too, and sort of relate what's going on in the real football world, in the real scheme of things. And before we even start with guys that are directly on our team, let's start with a guy who's coming off of suspension and who all Patriot fans are hoping is going to put up the scoring record on Sunday, and that is Tom Brady. Do you think that's going to happen?
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? It's weird. I always end up on sort of the wrong side of the table in these things, too, where I'm always sort of chiding fans in a friendly way, but that sort of the, you know, jumping off cliff stuff every time something goes bad midway through a quarter or something like that and start making, you know, monstrous statements about where the season's going and things like that. And sort of assuming not the worst. But in this situation, I would assume most fans would have a little bit of cynicism as well, in that, hey, Tom Brady's gonna be angry, but man, he was angry all year last year. That's not really how football works. I mean, they could be focused, but I'm expecting a little rust, to be honest, and I don't think it'll be any major surprise if the offense is a little clunky for a quarter or two. Do you end up scoring 80 points in the second half? I don't know, but I think I'm on sort of the other side where, hey, you shouldn't be over enthusiastic about what this might be. Understand the context of what's going on. These guys been at home, and I think he obviously keeps his body great. He works as hard as anyone probably could under those circumstances, but it's not football. So I think the real miracle will be if they're smooth. I mean, and I'm willing to be surprised about it. I mean, I think we were all surprised how good they looked on the short four-day thing with Houston, Thursday game, you know, 2 weeks ago. So that might give you solace that, hey, they can whip something together against all odds. But to have some amazing offensive performance, you know, it's a little bit of a shot in the dark.
So what you're really saying is that the Bengals in Pittsburgh get to experience the full wrath of Tom Brady. Oh, okay,
I think so. Yeah.
in all seriousness, you know, there's a few things out of that game, the Buffalo Bills game, that, again, from a fan's perspective, I wasn't necessarily so surprised with the result, but more about how the result came about. I suspected offensively pretty much what I saw in the first half with, you know, Jacoby nursing an injured thumb. I expected to see they were just going to try and hand the ball off and get this game over as quickly as possible, and hopefully nobody gets injured. I was a little bit more surprised to see him sort of, you know, start chucking the ball deep in that second half. My concerns now about the Patriots is defensively saw a lot of missed tackles. This has got to be one of the sloppiest tackling teams I've seen in the Bill Belichick era. And then the second part is that offensive line was a sieve, and Jacoby was getting lit up quite a number of times by that Buffalo Bills defense.
So I'll just concentrate on the parts that I actually watched, because I don't want to pretend to have rewatched every element of the game. I think the things that did jump off the screen for me were some of the stuff you touched on, and the tackling part was big. And I think one of the reasons I'm very hesitant, excuse me, to really look hard at stat collection from third party people is I think one of the issues you get into it with tackling. When tackling is an issue, a lot of times the missed tackle is charted as a guy who's on the ball and makes a play on the ball and misses it. And if you look back at the Patriots game, a lot of the issues with tackling were guys taking angles that never got them anywhere near it, you know, and a cut happens out in space. The guy's not necessarily missing the tackle per se, but he's being cut on at times where he can't even be a factor. And I think we saw that a lot where LeSean McCoy was winding it back and a guy would take a wrong side at 5 to 8 yards off and then never becomes a part of the play where you need him down and you need him on a certain side of leverage to sort of feed him back to someone else. So that was definitely a game where, and again, you're going to have the on the ball missed tackles, which are easy to chart too. And I think there were a lot of problems with that. But the bigger surprise was just sort of the team defense element being gone, not just the, you know, accomplishing the physical part of getting him down for the one guy who's on the ball. So I think it even extends beyond LeSean McCoy, who you kind of know is going to be like that, but it's also not the first time they played against him, I think both with the Bills and Eagles. So it's not like you've seen them struggle that bad and you should presume it'll be like that the next time they face each other. I would hope not. It's not, a lot of these guys have tackled that guy before without those kind of issues. But the other one was Tyrod Taylor and not pulling up the pocket. And it's not so much, you know, scrambles and run around too crazy. It's just times when, okay, they're going to run dash pass or some sort of, not necessarily boot, but just sort of everything moves out to his arm side quickly and they move the pocket with him. Well, the really, 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 really important part there is not pass rush and sacks and things like that. It's pulling up the pocket. In other words, stopping sort of the flow of the entire line to get out past the hash numbers. And I was surprised that they were, you know, it's almost like hooking the end or either making or stoning him so he doesn't get up the field and sort of prevent the pocket from washing almost nearly to the sideline. And that happened two or three or four times, you know, several times. And I was like, man, you never see that. That's like a once in a long time error. Like maybe the defensive end of the left side or outside linebacker doesn't get great pressure or doesn't get a sack or whatever, but he pulls it up because that's something that's very stringent. You know, it's like they're like, you know, you're not going to be able to do A, B, and C, but you better do A. And A may not necessarily be considered a win, you know, for outside people who haven't played in these defenses and know what they're really looking for. But the pressure isn't important, but stopping it, shrinking the field, allowing things to sort of be more clear for everyone else, that's important. And they made all sorts of errors like that defensively, and that was surprising to me. So those are the things that if you are a Patriots fan, you should be a little bit concerned about. It was a bad week that way, and it was out of character for a lot of guys that usually kick ass. And all of those things I'm talking about have nothing to do with Tom Brady. He won't help that.
No, he won't. We're sitting here now at the quarter pole in the NFL, and I know you being a former Patriot, I know that's sort of an important mark that the Belichick likes to imply that quarter, sort of that quarter mark in terms of evaluating the team. What exactly should teams be looking at now that 1/4 of the season is over?
Survival. I think you want to get the most of your team intact. You want to start to formulate a personality, an identity, whatever you want to call it. So you kind of, you have sort of the seeds of what you do well. It's not a finished story by any means. We usually talk about that even more, even into the, you know, nearing Thanksgiving kind of talk. But I think the reason I say survival is they generally say, hey, you want to get through that thing with accumulating as many wins as possible, keeping the majority of your personnel intact. In other words, no September sort of calamities as far as a key offensive personnel or defensive leader or something that was core to your personality now being gone. So generally speaking, the roster for the Patriots is intact. Generally speaking, they accumulated enough wins to sort of, you know, not take you out of any other future goals. 3 is good, 4 would have been better. And generally speaking, moving forward, I think they have an identity in every game but this last one. This last one is sort of the abomination. It's the thing that, you know, is it just a complete anomaly because it was a weird-ass game and you're playing with a quarterback who forces the offense to do things that they won't be doing, so it doesn't matter. And defensively, you're facing a weirdo sort of extremely mobile guy in the back end, extremely mobile back. That 1-2 combination really doesn't exist anywhere else. So maybe it doesn't correlate. So you kind of take the ones that you think might move forward and the ones that don't and sort of, you know, a focus on the ones that you it should be. So I think by and large, you're going to come out with the majority of the things that you want to see out of that quarter poll with the Patriots still intact.
So with the Patriots, I think I'm 3-1 might be a slight surprise considering that Tom Brady wasn't behind center for these four games. But looking at some of these other teams, there's been a couple of surprises so far in the NFL. And I'm curious if you've got your eyes set on a couple of these teams. One I will mention is on my fantasy squad, and that's the Carolina Panthers. I don't think anybody saw this team starting the season at 1-3, and certainly in that same division, seeing the Falcons jumping out at 3-1. What do you think is going wrong here for Carolina right now?
Good timing, Jay. I think actually, I just put up a video that Brady Papinga did on the website, and he sort of went through what both struck us as a little bit surprising because they're asking the same things. I mean, I went, we do an FBF lock segment, just basically picking four games that we like to go against the spread or either points each week. And we're 8-8, and which is atrocious for us. I mean, to be in that sort of treadmill wagering is we don't like that, you know? So, and we've been burned by several of these teams that are typically dependable. The Patriots won last week, and the other being Carolina's defense. When they give up that volume of points, I don't care how hot Atlanta has been recently. They were hot in the previous three games against pretty bad defenses. But the video that Brady sent over that's up on the website now is in relation to sort of the scheme breakdowns, not the scheme choices, but the breakdowns against Julio Jones, which is really weird from the Panthers in that they're a division team. They're going to know, you know, you don't usually see the division teams give up something that the other team does best, right? And oddly enough, the Saints, also in that same division, provided a pretty good template. Played them a week before, only one catch and 16 yards. And you go and look, and they bracket them okay. They high-low them from time to time. They mixed it up, but they executed whatever is they chose. You can go back in that Panthers game and find several snaps where they're sort of emulating, it may be from their own stuff, but it looks that look very similar to what the Saints did, but they're just blowing it. And that's surprising. So, you know, as much as we were sort of on the tip of the Panthers a year ago for how, you know, stable they were and how they execute their stuff so well, and they're not really very elaborate in what they do, they just had a lot of breakdowns. And I don't think anyone would have guessed or predicted that. I mean, it's that to me has been sort of the big shocker of the first half on the defensive side of the ball.
You know, another interesting surprise when you look at some of these surprise teams is they're getting it done on the road. The Ravens currently at 3-1, 2-0 on the road. The Raiders at 3-1, 3-0 on the road, and East Coast road games as well. Not a place the Raiders historically do well. The Cowboys are 2-0 on the road, standing at 3-1. I'm going to get to the other team in the NFC East in just a second because I got a different way to go with that one. The Falcons 2-0 on the road, and the Rams 2-1 on the road. So it's interesting that these surprise teams are getting it done on the road. That team that I skipped over in the NFC East is the Philadelphia Eagles, sitting currently at 3-0. I think this is also a fairly large surprise to most people.
Yeah, and I think they have a unit that their defense, and especially with the new coordinator in now, I think personnel wise, I think they were in pretty good shape to be sort of a sneaky good defense, right? You know, no one's going to start calling them a top five, but they can sort of sit on that on the cusp. You know, they're right around 10, you know, right? Maybe a little lower if they play better, but they don't have a lot of flashy names, but there's a lot of investment in their front seven over the years. And I think they can be sort of sneaky good, sneaky competitive, keep them in games week after week. But I think a lot of the frustration with that team was just that the offense never was what you would presumed it would be with Chip Kelly and all of that. So, you know, you strip that away, you go to a little more traditional look, you bring in a rookie quarterback, which surprisingly Carson Wentz has done exceptional, but I think things steady and you get to sort of say, their defense is actually still really good. They can be, you know, they're not in sort of these three and out situations when Chip is doing sideways running. So with some personnel that weren't made for it. I mean, we've seen that from how well DeMarco Murray has been, you know, back running north and south as he always should have been. So not that Chip's stuff doesn't work, but I think sometimes it's, you know, the square peg, round hole, that whole thing. So you clean up sort of the debris that was around that thing and get in a quarterback who played a ton of reps in college, albeit at a little bit lower level, and things just start to fit together. And I think we look back to Joe Flacco. He's probably always the example in my head of a guy who assimilated himself pretty quickly, although at Delaware, but you know, Delaware is not, it's not a Division II school, it's an FCS. So some of these FCS schools that are traditionally pretty competitive, and you get a guy that's in there that had, you know, several seasons of reps, I often think that guy will be more ready. We'll have more early success than maybe like a Jared Goff, or maybe like, you know, another quarterback who flashes for a year, like, I don't know, Achilles Smith back in the day or something like that.
All right, I have two more questions for you here before I let you go.
All right.
Thursday night game is featuring the Chip Kelly led San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals, another one of those surprise teams for the worse, it's now sitting at 1-3. Is this an area where the Niners can look at the Cardinals and go, oh, these guys are ripe for the picking? Or is Bruce Arians going to finally show us why he was back-to-back coach of the year and get this Cardinals team moving in the right direction? The Cardinals, one of my Super Bowl picks. So I need them to sort of wake up here.
Yeah, well, I there's a lot of question marks in that game already. And I think you sort of have a little Patriots-Texans situations here with the Thursday game where, A, if you're gambling or even playing fantasy or anything like that, I'd stay away from this one. I think it's a hot mess of unknowns because Blaine Gabbert has actually, I think there were stretches of the game a week ago against Dallas, where he looked competent. He didn't look like a non-starter who was just out there because of situation. I think he can do some things. Carlos Hyde's a good back. They're a little thinner, though, in the wide receiver area. Still seeing Torrey Smith not having the impact I think people thought he'd have when they went out there. But the greater issue for me is I think Arizona is a little less surprised than just more disappointing, because they had a really bad camp. And it's something that I know people want to say that, you know, preseason games don't matter. Well, they do, that just the scores don't matter. So I think it does matter to go look at how teams are playing and, you know, look at the rep decks they take. You know, if they get 20 plays, just look at the 20 plays and see how they're executing. And even though it may not be the stuff they go on, are they not sharp? And Arizona had a terrible camp. You know, Arians ranted on a couple occasions after games about, you know, that they just weren't playing well. And I think that matters when you come off an NFC championship game where you get annihilated. So some of that sloppy play reared its head against the Patriots and they get an early win. It was even worse against the Bills a couple weeks later. And then now their back's against the wall and they're facing unknowns. So the reason I said, you know, this is a Thursday of unknowns, I don't know if they've announced it yet as we're sitting here recording this, Jay, but I'm not sure if, you know, is there any pressure there to do the Colin Kaepernick thing potentially? And I think that might actually be a good call, much how the Patriots were able to squeeze one with Jacoby on a short week against Houston, because you can't prepare for it and it's so dissimilar to the other guy. So if you wanted to sneak a win, you know, the whole ripe for victory kind of thing, it might be a great week to put Kaepernick in there, because there's no way they're going to be able to rep all that stuff to prepare for him. There's no tape either. So if you were a little concerned with what you'd had thus far, might be the week to do it. But other than that, you know, is there hope that Arizona will just magically turn around? I think only in that they have a ton of talent on that team at the skill position area. But, you know, Drew Stanton might be the quarterback. I don't know if we know that here yet as we're talking. So there's just so much there that could affect it in one way or the other. And we don't know on 5, 6, 7, 8 bullet points. I don't know. I'd stay away from it.
And bringing it back to the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League, as I look at the standings, you and I are now tied for second in the East. Not that that matters, other than the fact that only one of us will be making it into the playoffs if the playoffs were to start right now, and this just in, they don't. You are facing D-Rex of Pyromaniac.com, the leader over in the West, or at least co-leader over in the West division. I am facing the only undefeated team left, and that's the ladies of Her Fantasy Football, whom, by the way, was picked by Eric Young, the first guest on this Wednesday podcast, to be the champions of this league. And right now they are not disappointing Eric Young whatsoever. That team is stacked.
Yeah. Well, and I sit in a situation where I look at it. I think I played Ashley early on. Did I not?
You did.
Williams. Yeah. She has put together a team that has really sort of stayed on top and has been scoring high each week, not just winning, but winning and with considerable margins. I still like where I sit. It's just a health thing. And I know if anyone has, you know, anyone has done this over several seasons knows that continuing to bank on unhealthy people invariably you lose. And I've got the Doug Martins and the Jonathan Stewarts and then DeAndre Hopkins, who hasn't been productive. And I remember doing that a year ago with Marshawn Lynch and just sit and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. The guy's, he's going to come. He's going to turn. He's supposed to be a top, you know, a top five guy. And it just never happens. So I'm sitting with one of those rosters that a year ago is scoring 150, 160 points a week. And instead you're lingering around the 80s and 90s and hundreds and just trying to pull it through. So I got a tough matchup ahead of me this week. I love the people on my roster. I just don't love what they're doing today. That's probably a bad place to be in.
I will say that in my favor so far this week, her quarterback Drew Brees is on a bye. So right. That's going to help me. She's going to have to pick up a waiver quarterback, which isn't difficult since this is only a 10-team league. But again, much like you mentioned, the same problem I have on my team is I've got these injury questions. You know, I've been sitting on Gronk. I do believe, and you might know a little more than I do. You're a little closer to the team, but I do think Gronk is ready to come back here. Yeah. Not that that was necessarily the plan to bring him back when Brady was back, but he did seem to play a lot more of that game against the Bills last week. He was just being held back as a blocker. I do think that he's ready to now start running a few more routes. So I'm banking on Gronk coming back this week as well. And the other guy has been Golden Tate, who I don't think is injured. He's just been a disappointment.
Right. No, you're spot on there. And I actually went Marvin Jones early, and that was sort of my golden pick. And that was me really relying hard on preseason targets. And when a dude arrives in town, if the relationship starts to form early and you can count on it, that's going to continue on. I think I did play him in week one and was like, OK, he's their guy. And that matters because if you're going to be sort of a catch gobbler and all of a sudden Eric Ebron starts getting balls too, which was the upset of the world because he was been so disappointed, I think, himself in his first couple seasons. Looks like Tate is the one who sort of dried up around that. He just hasn't gotten the looks. But we each have those situations. I'm sitting on Julian Edelman and Julian, I got stuck playing him last week because the announcement to switch quarterbacks, I wasn't able to swoop in and get it changed in time. So I think Jules is kind of sitting a lot like that for me where, you know, and we're also not in a PPR league like we were a year ago, and he's a killer in PPR and it's been a little tougher here. So is it night and day once Tom comes back and he's a super valuable guy or is it now and he's super modest? So, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun year. I think you still got a lot to go. And this is the first time I think I probably said this publicly with you, but I have to admit that I didn't realize we weren't in PPR until after the draft. And that was a big dummy move on my part. So I'm learning as we go. So,
well, there you go. I am, I've got Chris Hogan and Golden Tate as my starters this week. I've got the Dez Bryant situation that I have to monitor fairly closely going into the weekend, but going against the Bengals, I'm not so sure I'm going to play Dez anyway. So, but if I do end up playing Dez, it's going to be, well, am I benching Tate or am I benching Hogan? And I'm probably going to bench Tate and hope that Brady connects with one of his new weapons on a nice deep pass against that horrible, horrible Cleveland Browns team.
That's going to be, you know what, it'll be funny to see how this plays out, Jay, after this week, because the Patriots players are going to be players of any kind, like a Gronk, like an Edelman. I have a feeling they're going to be real sort of boomer bust propositions. You jack Gronk's price up on the DFS world, or maybe even Jules will go there as well, and they could be guys that this offense looks nothing, you know, like Kansas City Chiefs of a couple of years ago. It could be a really ugly game because they just haven't been together. Or it could just go flying. So I might actually personally stay away from a lot of them, at least in the daily stuff. We'll see. I'm Matt, just risk averse. That's my thing.
Matt, where can people catch you?
On Twitter, I'm at Chatham58. The website's footballbyfootball.com. Myself, Brady Quinn, Rocky Boyman, Brady Papenga. It's the four of us. And this year, putting out more videos. So we kind of do like a daily video of some sort and knock different stuff out on there. Got a YouTube channel that goes with it. Yeah, just having fun. The handle for the Twitter for Football by Football is at FB by FB. So that is us. Having a good time.
Excellent. And of course, the Football by Football podcast you can hear once a week, distributed by Blog Talk Radio, which is why you're in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Absolutely. Expert League.
Absolutely. Matt, and that's available on the website as well, at both places.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. And I'm sure we are going to talk again before the season is over.
All righty. Have a great week, Jay.
All right, so there goes Matt Chatham. We had some difficulty scheduling the super fans here. We're still trying to work some of the kinks out, trying to get the super fans to record a lot of their own things without the actual assistance of another maybe more technical savvy host. But we do have the Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers on Thursday Night Football. Arizona running back David Johnson leads the NFL with 510 scrimmage yards. He's the first player in Cardinals history to record at least 100 scrimmage yards in each of the team's first four games of a season. More Cardinals records, those belong now to Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden. They have each recorded a sack in all four games this season, and they are the first players in team history to record a sack in each of the team's first four games to begin a season. We still don't have official word on Carson Palmer, who's going through the concussion protocols right now, although right now it is probably safe to say and safe to assume it's going to be Drew Stanton under center at quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals this Thursday night. San Francisco running back Carlos Hyde leads the NFC and ranks second overall in the NFL with 5 rushing touchdowns. Their leading receiver currently is not Torrey Smith. It's old man Jeremy Curley, who had 6 receptions for 88 yards and a 33-yard touchdown last week against Dallas. He leads the team with 18 catches and 202 receiving yards. He's also averaging 14.3 yards per punt return. So Jeremy Curley getting it done for the 49ers, but I don't think that's going to be enough against this Arizona Cardinals team. The Cards have won 3 of the past 4. They did win at the 49ers last year in late November. It did take a game-winning touchdown run by Carson Palmer with 2:28 remaining. But Tyrann Mathieu had 13 tackles and a pick. He was all over the field defensively for the Cardinals. And it's not just because of Tyrann Mathieu, but so many other things. And I know the Cards are 1-3. We talked about it a little bit there with Matt Chatham. I just don't believe it, man. This is one of the best teams in the league. I think they're going to get things going in the right direction here. And I think the 49ers are the perfect medicine to help the Cardinals out. Sorry, 49ers fans. Clearly, I'm not giving you a lot of credit here because there's not a lot of credit to give. So there you go. Thursday night preview. I'm going with the Cardinals. Line, by the way, at betdsi.com on this game is -4 Arizona Cardinals. I like it. I like it a lot. Especially since this is a Thursday night game, the away teams on the short week, usually not a good bet, but I like the Cardinals here -4 for sure against the 49ers. There you go. It's been our Wednesday interview show. Hope you enjoyed it. Come back around tomorrow. We're going to have the full preview of the Sunday slate of games with quite a few of the super fans here. And we'll also bring you the recaps on Monday. Oh, I skipped over Fantasy Friday. How dare I? Our Sam, our Giants superfan, and Rob, our Bills superfan, they provide some daily fantasy game insight, and I usually answer a question or two, and those questions can be sent to nextfanup@gmail.com. You can also send us a tweet at NFU Podcast, and of course, all of our previews written by our superfans are on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. If you want to apply, just like Andy did, to become a super fan, nextfanup@gmail.com. We have quite a few openings. Titans, Buccaneers, Cowboys, just to name a few. If you haven't heard from your superfan or haven't seen their work on our Facebook page recently, that means their job is pretty much up for grabs. So send in those applications, nextfanup@gmail.com, and we'll be talking to you again tomorrow with the full Sunday slate preview. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.